Welcome to the December 28th, 2008 morning worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's message is by the Reverend Raymond Smith and is entitled Family Christmas Songs. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
Good morning. Good morning. I'll say it one more time. Good morning. All right. That sounds good. It's kind of lonely up here without the choir. It is great to see each of you here this morning on this first Sunday after Christmas. I hope that Santa Claus was good to everyone and that you've been enjoying some good family time and friends time and food, fellowship, all that good stuff. Just want to draw your attention to the pew pads. On the end of the pews, there should be a small pad. We'd like to take a record of who's with us this morning. So if you would, just take that, pass it along the row, filling in your name and your information. We'd just like to get a record that you were here in worship with us this morning. There's a couple of exciting things going on. First of all, I just wanted to point out this beautiful flower arrangement that you see up here in front of the lectern. They were given by Sherry Martin Harrison, who is in memory of her parents, Foy and Ethel Lee Martin. And so we definitely want to remember them and just thank her for those. And we also have a little bit of an easy week this week as far as church life is concerned. There's going to be no life service tonight. Is that right, Cindy? No life service this evening. There will be life, but no life worship service. Right. Life is not canceled tonight. Okay. Also, this Wednesday night, since the kids are out of school, it's our tradition over the holidays to sort of take a break from our normal Wednesday night family night activities. And so, again, take that time to spend it with your families at home. Charlie asked me to say that there will be no girls basketball practice this week, which is normally at, what, Tuesday? Okay. But there will be the other team's normal practice. You don't? Okay. Well, there is no girls' practice, but that's all we have this morning. I'd like to call forth the ushers this morning. Like I said, you gave us some of your information, and now we'd like to. If you're a visitor this morning, we'd like to give you a little information about our church and about our mission here and the way that we do worship and our activities here. So, if you are a visitor, please raise your hand so that our ushers can come by and give you a little bit of information about us and who we are and who we try to be. One thing that we emphasize here at College Park is worship, and it is very good to be here in the house of the Lord this morning to worship together, especially in this season where we remember the birth of Christ our Savior. And so we ask now that you spend the next few minutes and prepare your hearts as the music plays to enter into a time of worship. Thank you.
Lord, this morning as heaven and nature sing, Lord, we come with hearts prepared. Lord, with hearts full of hope and love and joy and peace in celebration of your coming. Lord, we rejoice to know that you are Emmanuel, God with us. And as we come this morning to worship the God who chooses to be in relationship with us, Lord, I ask that even now, Lord, you would clear our minds. Lord, that you would open our hearts. Lord, that you would come, Lord, and be among us. Lord, help us this morning to rejoice as we sing with all joy, in harmony with one another. And Lord, as we leave this place this morning, let us go out with your love and proclaim your greatness to all the world. Lord, we praise you, for you are a great and mighty God. And we thank you for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.
Ask our children if they would come on up for children's time. Mr. Fuzzy's not here today, so we're going to try to get along without him, okay? You think it'll work? Think it'll work? I think it will. Did you have a good Christmas? Yes. Was Santa Claus good to you?
Yeah.
Yes, he was. Okay, well, that's good. You deserved it, right?
Yeah.
That wasn't quite as enthusiastic. You deserved it, right?
Yeah.
Sure, okay. Well, this morning we're going to talk about Christmas songs. What's your favorite Christmas song?
Carols.
Carols, okay. What's your favorite Christmas song? Do you know? Do you remember you like them all? You like them all. Pardon? Feliz Navidad. Okay, the multicultural section. Good. Good. All right. That's a good song. Oh, that's a good song. What else? What's your other favorite Christmas songs? Do you like the ones we sang this morning? I like Joy to the World. That was when I was your age. That was my favorite song.
My favorite Christmas song too.
It is. Well, that's a good song, isn't it? Did you sing real pretty when we sang it? No? Yes or no?
No,
you didn't? Okay. That's all right. Well, I remember when I was a little bit thing. The first Christmas songs I remember were the ones that were in Charlie Brown's Christmas. Did you all watch that the other night when we were here at Jingle Jam? Did you like it? It's kind of a cute movie, isn't it? Did you come to Jingle Jam?
Yeah.
Did you like the songs we sang in Jingle Jam?
Yeah.
Those were kind of different, weren't they? Some of them were a little bit different, but they were kind of cool. I like those. I like those. Well, another song that I remember from way back when went like this. It's kind of like that. That's an old song. I gotta tell you, I didn't see any recognition in any of your eyes about that song at all. I saw some out here. But that song was actually recorded in 1962.
And that didn't sound like a Christmas song.
It didn't sound like a Christmas song. You're right. It's a song called Santa Claus is Watching You. And we all know that Santa Claus is a great guy, but the more important thing...
He's watching you.
He is watching you. But the more important thing is the fact that Christmas is a time when we celebrate what? That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So as you think about Christmas songs, I want you to think about songs that talk about Jesus' birthday, okay? And we're going to sing a bunch more this morning. There's going to be several different kinds of Christmas songs that are sung. But in every single one, I want you to remember we're talking about Jesus' birthday, okay? That's what Christmas is all about. Can you listen to that again? Maybe after service, okay? Come back and see me. We'll listen to the whole thing, okay? Me and you, buddy. All right. Well, let's think about Christmas songs and Jesus' birthday, and we'll pray right now and ask God to remind us that Christmas is about Jesus' birthday and all those songs, okay? Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for the chance to be together and to sing Christmas songs and to celebrate Jesus' birthday. Father, we thank you for these children and the excitement they have, and Father, we pray that you continue to bless them as they learn more about you and more about Christmas and the songs of Christmas. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Go back to your seat now.
Let all mortal flesh keep silence, and with fear and trembling stand. Ponder nothing earthly-minded, for with blessing in his hand, Christ our God to earth descendeth, our full homage to demand. Rank on rank the host of heaven spreads its vanguard on the way. As the light of light descendeth from the realms of endless day, that the powers of hell may vanish, as the darkness clears away. At his feet the six-winged seraph, cherubim with sleepless eye, veil their faces to the presence, as with ceaseless voice they cry, Alleluia, 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 Lord Most High.
Our scripture reading this morning first comes from the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah, 61st chapter, verses 10. Through the 62nd chapter, verse 3. That's Isaiah 61:10 through 62:3. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. I'm sorry, started too early. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. And as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all nations. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until her vindication shines out like the dawn and her salvation like a burning torch. The nations shall see your vindication and all the kings your glory. And you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. And from the New Testament, from the book of Titus, chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all, training us to renounce impiety and worldly passions, and in the present age to live lives that are self-controlled, upright, and godly, while we wait for the blessed hope and the manifestation of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He it is who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify for himself a people of his own who are zealous for good deeds. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Will you join your hands and hearts in prayer? Our gracious Lord, we are so grateful that you gave us the gift of your Son, a gift we certainly didn't deserve. But, Lord, we pray that we will open this gift and that it will change our hearts and our minds. We pray that December 25th is not the beginning and end of Christmas, but that Christmas will live with us throughout the year, that people will see that Christ lives in our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy and your kindness. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping. This is Christ our King, whom shepherds, God, and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary. Why lies he in such mean estate, where ox and ass are feeding? Good Christian, fear for sinners here. The silent word is pleading. Nail's spear shall pierce him through. The cross be borne for me, for you. Hail, hail the Word made flesh, the babe, the Son of Mary. So bring him incense, gold, and myrrh. Come, peasant king, to own him. The King of kings salvation brings. Let loving hearts enthrone him. Raise, raise the song on high. The virgin sings her lullaby. Joy, joy, for Christ is born, the babe, the Son of Mary.
Merry Christmas. Some of you greeted me in that fashion this morning, and it made me feel good. Either it was spontaneous or you listened to the sermon last week. Either way, it's all good. I hope you have had a Merry Christmas season thus far and will continue to do so. We're going to continue in our reading of the Christmas story. Believe it or not, the Christmas story does not stop at verse 20 in Luke chapter 2. It continues on, and I want to read that for you, being Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 22. And we'll be reading down to verse 40, Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 22. When the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. And then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts and of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to him at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. On this, the fourth day of Christmas, it's a good time to consider family. The title, if you notice, the title of the sermon is Family Christmas Songs. And that's what we're going to talk about. You know, one of the Christmas songs that I didn't bring up with the children because we didn't know where it would go was talking about the 12 days of Christmas. But there's been a lot of talk in recent days about the 12 days of Christmas. Merchants try to use that to extend spending and that type of thing. Others talk about the 12 days of Christmas in the sense of trying to extend the good peace, the good feeling, the compassion for one another, all those type of things that surround the Christmas season, they naturally want to extend those. And that's a very good motive. But for us as believers, the best motive is the fact that we're Christmas people, we're Easter people. We should live in the joy and the peace of Christmas and the joy and the victory of Easter. So 12 days from Christmas ought to be pretty easy for us. And sometimes we talk about 12 days of Christmas as it talks about family, because sometimes family will come over Christmas and they may stay for 12 days. I don't know about at your house, but you know, maybe they do. Kids come home from college and it's good to see them. Annual gathering sometime of extended family, maybe people you don't see at any other time of the year except Christmas, and they come in and that's a good time. Some are lonesome for family at Christmas. Others have had all the family that they want by this point in Christmas, and that's all good. I mentioned our college students. A lot of times they come home, and if it's the first year that they come home for Christmas, they come home with a car full of dirty laundry. And Irma Bombeck, I think, wrote something about that, talking about the mixed feelings of seeing your first semester college student come home with a car full of dirty laundry. She said, however, that's not as bad as when they come home the next Christmas and they have a mind full of dirty thoughts related to college. So, you know, and she laughs about that. But, you know, it's a time of season where we get together in family. And there's lots of stories exchanged, lots of thoughts exchanged. And as we read Luke's story and as he's talking about family, we need to understand that family for him is Mary and Joseph and Jesus. You know, he doesn't mention the Magi. He doesn't mention the wise men because, you know, that's not family to him. They were kind of outsiders in the story, and he's a lot more interested in family connections, and he's drawing these parallels. And in the first chapter, if you recall, as we were reading during Advent, Luke tells about the birth of John the Baptist, and he talks about John's mother, Elizabeth, and how the angel Gabriel described what was going to happen to her and appeared to her and told her about it. And then we hear the story that follows behind that of Mary, kind of a similar account. And then they draw the parallel between Elizabeth and Mary. Luke tells us that they were relatives. Doesn't say exactly what relative they were. Some have conjectured, well, Elizabeth must have been Mary's aunt. That's possible. Given the age difference, they probably weren't sisters. But they were obviously very close because they spent 3 months together while they were both expecting. Maybe they were cousins. We don't know. We do know that they were family. They were blood family. Luke makes that very clear. So the possibility then is they draw these two birth stories together, and you have Elizabeth, Zechariah, and John, and then you have Mary and Joseph and Jesus. And these two stories are told closely together because John and Jesus represent the fulfillment of promises that were made to Abraham, Moses, David, and their descendants. Luke's helping us to draw the family picture and draw the lines in the family tree pretty neatly. They are fulfillment of prophecies. This is a family matter. Then you have more distant family. I use that in quotes. More distant family. You've got Simeon and Anna, who are introduced here in Luke chapter 2 in today's readings. Now, they're not blood relatives. Okay? They're not blood relatives, but they're members of the same household of faith, if you will. So, again, part of the descendants that are looking forward to the Messiah. They're not blood relatives. Well, you know how that is. I mean, in church, look around you. We're all family. And if you've sat in the same pew, which is a very high likelihood for the last months or years, you get to know the people around you, right? We laugh about different corners of the church and, you know, we've got pew captains and we've got section captains. They're taking care of their people in that area. But that's a very good thing because it's family. It's all part of family and learning more about each other, taking care of each other and caring for one another. That's a good thing. Maybe your kids have grown up together. And you've spent many an hour waiting in the church parking lot for the bus to get back with your kids. And you've learned a lot about each other during that time. That's good. That's good. That's all part of being family. Maybe you've been in a Bible study together or a fellowship group and you've spent time and you've become family and you understand now what it means when we talk about brothers and sisters in Christ. You get that. You understand what that means. We're all part of the family of faith. So a household of faith is capable of producing extended family. And that's what we have this morning. Simeon and Anna probably didn't know Joseph and Mary. They happened to be there. It was providence. They happened to be there when the new parents brought their son Jesus, who was 40 days old, to the temple to do what the law required. Do the tradition of the faith. So there was this required of first families to bring the firstborn son, and this family was being faithful to that. Scripture tells us that. So the ceremony involved a sacrifice. Luke tells us about the poverty of Mary and Joseph because he talks about the fact that they were going to either offer a couple of doves or a couple of pigeons, which was an acceptable substitute if you couldn't afford a lamb. So we know a great deal about this family already. They were not a family of means, but they were a family that were faithful to the laws and traditions of their faith. They came to the temple and they came to present their firstborn son. So this wasn't a corporate act of worship. It's not like we gather here this morning. There weren't people gathered there together and they all joined together in song and in ceremony. That's not how it happened. There were always people hanging out there as people came to perform their acts of ceremony, their acts of worship, and to go through those steps. There were also especially a lot of older people there. As you read through Scripture, a common theme that's always fascinated me is talking about people of age, and they're drawing a parallel to people of faith. Young people, would be good to learn. Good to learn from that. Learn from those who are seniors in our congregation. Hear their stories. Ask them their stories of their journey of faith. Because we can learn from that. Simeon, it was noted, was both righteous and devout. He was looking forward to the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit rested on him. He was there because he knew deep in his heart that he couldn't die until he saw the Messiah. Now, parents, think about it just for a minute. Here's an older guy hanging out at the temple, staring at all the children as they come in. That's a little creepy at first appearance. Okay? And I don't know about Joseph and Mary, but with the other parents, for years he had been watching children come in because he had been promised that he would not die until he saw the Messiah. Now imagine, close your eyes for just a second. Picture in your mind's eye this gentleman in a long robe, perhaps, white hair, and he's standing there at the temple. just waiting. As children come in, he looks at them. He's longing to see the Messiah. Open your eyes. If you were in his position, where would you hang out? If you wanted to see the Messiah, where would you hang out? That's, of course, where he is, in the temple. Because the Messiah, he knew, would come through the temple. Would come through the temple. The parents surely would bring him. And when this not even 6-week-old child, baby Jesus, came, he saw him, and here's what he's saying. Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation. Translation, I've seen the Messiah. I can go home now. I can die at peace now. And then there was Anna, 84 years of age, always at the temple. And all she needed to do was look at Jesus, and she knew. She knew. Scripture says she began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. She knew. Simeon knew, Anna knew. This extended holy family now includes John and his older relatives, his parents Elizabeth and Zechariah, family by blood, now Anna and Simeon, who are members of the larger family of faith. So we have a family that just seems to be growing. But more importantly, I want you to hear their songs. Hear their songs of faith. Members of the extended family sang songs of faith that we sing or sing a form of today. Liturgies that emerged long ago were based on these songs of faith. Look at them. First, Mary's Magnificat. In Luke chapter 1, Mary sang, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." What a beautiful text. What a beautiful text. The second song, notice, Zechariah's Benedictus. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them. That's in Luke chapter 1, verse 68. Now we get Simeon's Nunc Dimittis, which is verses 29 through 32. Hear it again. Hear his song. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And there's one more song I want you to note. Do you remember how this whole thing started? And there were in the same country shepherds. And the angels appeared to them. Now, the angels, okay, maybe they're not family, but they had a beautiful song, and it went like this: glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those he favors. Another beautiful song of God's family. And not all these songs were lullabies. All Christmas songs aren't lullabies. Young Mary sang about the greatness of God, but her song was also prophetic, revealing how God's deliverance would bring down the powerful and lift up the lowly. Zechariah sang of his son yet to be born, and God had spoken through the prophets and had said that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 70. And then we have Simeon. His song declared that this Messiah had come for the salvation not only of the chosen ones, but for all people. It's kind of revolutionary language for a family Christmas song, don't you think? So you have sweet music of peace sung by angels, which was welcoming news because of the war that was going on then and the war that's going on now. So our challenge as Christmas people is to hear the songs. Hear the songs of Scripture. Hear the songs of Christmas family. Our Lord Jesus came from a family, but this family is more than Mary and Joseph. It's John. It's Zechariah. It's Elizabeth. It's Mary's kinfolk, her blood relatives. And as Jesus' story gave birth to a new family of faith, we find that that family had its beginnings in Simeon and Anna, who looked into Jesus' eyes and recognized the Messiah. They recognized the fulfillment of God's promises. And that family broke free of bloodlines through the work of Peter and Paul and the power of the Holy Spirit, and includes us. You know, we're part of that family. And so our songs should be songs that talk about the Messiahship of Christ, that announce the arrival of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That should be our songs of praise. That should be our family Christmas songs. We have them listed in Scripture and written out in Scripture. We sing them together every Sunday morning. And it should be year-round, as we talked about last week. Christmas songs should be about year-round celebration. I challenge you, as you go back and perhaps read the Christmas story, read it with fresh eyes and read the songs of Christmas of God's family. Let's pray together. Dear Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the songs that are presented that celebrate, that foretell the arrival of Jesus, but also celebrate and announce his arrival here. We thank you for the songs that tell about the Messiahship and how Jesus came and his purpose for coming. Father, we pray that as your children, we would be faithful as your family to sing these songs, as brothers and sisters in Christ to celebrate all that he has done for us and continues to do through us. Father, we thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ, and it's in his name that we pray. Amen. This morning, if you're here and you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, we want to extend an invitation to you. We want to offer you a chance to receive Jesus into your heart. We'll sing a song here in just a moment. And as we do that, I'll be here at the front and be glad to talk with you and pray with you on how you can receive Christ. Or if you are a believer and maybe you just haven't really been living in the spirit of Christmas, in the sense of the Messiah come to save you, we want to give you a chance maybe to recommit yourself. Recommit yourself to that spirit of Christmas. If you're here and you're a believer and you would like to join College Park Baptist Church, be glad to talk with you about how we receive members. There are many ways we'd be glad to share that with you. Whatever your decision is, we invite you to make that as we stand and sing together now. and Dylan is coming this morning. He's been a part of our congregation for quite a while now, been going with us on mission trips and being a part of this youth group and being part of the fellowship. And he's coming to let you know that he has received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And he made that decision some time ago, but he's making that public now and wants to take the next step and be baptized. And I know that you'll rejoice with him. And if you will do so and pray for him and encourage him, would you join me in saying amen? Hang right here. Hang right here, buddy. This is Wilson Alexander. Wilson, why have you come this morning?
Because I'm a Christian and I want to be baptized.
Because he's a Christian, he wants to be baptized. He's accepted Christ into his heart, and we've been talking with Wilson, and we're convinced that he's so full of joy and love for Christ. Those of you that have met him, you know that. You know that already. But he's coming this morning to make that public. And he's going to follow the Lord's example and be baptized as well. And if you will rejoice with him and encourage him and continue to pray for him as he grows in his faith journey, would you join me in saying amen?
Amen.
Amen. His parents are here. I'm going to ask them following the benediction and the response if you would come stand with Wilson, okay? Let's stand together as we dismiss. Let's pray together. Dear Father, we thank you for this day of worship, this day of celebration. Father, we thank you for the songs of Christmas, not just the ones we've sung here today, but all that celebrate the birth and the Messiahship of Jesus Christ, your Son. For it's in his name that we pray. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.